Right?
That was good. That was good. That was really good, actually. So we're going to start the trend off. We're going to start it off like this. On a cloudy day. When it's cold outside. All right. I've got the month of May.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the fourth day of March 2011. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Special thanks to Natasha and Nyla for spinning 4 hours of soul revitalizing music for you. Hopefully you enjoyed that for the last 4 hours. They are an absolutely lovely and beatific presence, and we love exchanging pleasantries while I play the opening track of my show as your host, BK, aka VJ, on Mondays and Thursdays. I can't get through. I'm trying though.
I've been trying hard to reach you, 'cause I don't know what to do. Oh brother, I can't believe it's true. I'm so scared about the future, and I wanna talk to you. Oh, I wanna talk to you.
And that's what we do here on Mondays and Thursdays on CKLN's Rude Awakening.
You can take a picture.
We try and talk about the future and where we've come from and what we need to do to fight for our rights, our freedoms, our prosperity, and basically everything we enjoy about this culture. And it's amazing out there. We have such an incredible opportunity for communication with other people, an incredible opportunity to make connections that were never before made, and so many people are doing those. And yet, I've got to tell you, once you understand the old world order trying to create a new world order, and that is the central banking families out there who print money from nothing and who are using it and have been using it to buy control over the world and create a permanent scientific dictatorship. Once you understand what they're up to and you can put the pieces together between the missing freedoms and the plethora of new toys, then you can really start to look at people in a much more humanizing way. Because you're no longer looking at your friends or your family or your spouse or your children or your boyfriend or your girlfriend as an individual who may or may not give you problems or make you happy or tick you off, but you see them as an individual in the context, the historical context of humanity's struggle for freedom throughout the ages against tyrannical rulers and governments. And so once you understand the system that we're all in and how we're all played and how we're all fed, you know, bad ideas as part of our daily intake of information, then you can use that context to separate people. Basically, you know, you and your brother, your sister, or your mom or your dad, you know, or your husband or your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever permutation, as family members, may fight, and you may get in some knockdown, drag out arguments, but as soon as the house is getting robbed, then you guys might work together to make sure that doesn't happen. And so I want to share a bit of that today on this show. You know, things happen so fast at this time in history that it's hard to get a sense of context and a sense of perspective. But that's why we need to talk about it. That's why we need to go from learning this stuff online to discussing it more openly. And you'll see evidence of this in the mass media as well. Fox journalist Geraldo Rivera coming out and saying he questions 9/11. Alex Jones, legendary conspiracy talk show host and the father of the 9/11 truth movement, appearing on The View the other day to talk about Charlie Sheen and to insert his own brand of warnings to the American people, which we've been making for 15 or 16 years. And so we're at a point where we see gas prices rising, food prices rising, a breakdown in relationships, and we think that ignoring the bigger picture is the best way we can be happy, when in fact, if we intellectually engineer it properly, understanding the bigger picture can give us a lot more compassion for our fellow human beings and a desire to make every moment with them count. Because it'll be you may lose it, and Yet, if you decide to try and keep it, you may actually keep it. But on that note, I'd like to break out again Pastor Lindsey Williams on the Alex Jones Show, talking about what's happening in the Middle East, because he's going to give us a bit of a long-term view, and then we'll be back.
They were chanting. Now, this is a Muslim Brotherhood at the time of the Egyptian riots, and the Muslim Brotherhood was chanting, "Here we go. Folks, please, you need to write this down, put it beside your calendar." Here's what they chanted. Quote, "To Jerusalem we are headed, martyrs in the millions." You haven't seen this. Alex, have you seen the footage on this?
I've seen footage where they're chanting, "We're going to get Israel, death to Israel, we're going to take back Jerusalem." I think that I saw that on YouTube about a week ago. Is that what you're talking about?
No. This is another one. This is one that I really don't know where our producers got it, but this is amazing. You see it. You can't doubt it. You can hear it in the Egyptian language.
Well, let's expand on that, because from your research and what the oil company exec told you, they are triggering this. Why do they want to trigger this unrest? Is it order out of chaos? For the newspaper magazine reporter from New York Magazine sitting in there, explain to him first the double crossing of the Arabs, what it means, and the fuse it's lighting globally.
When Mr. Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, this was after, of course, the oil fields had been produced by the Arabs. You remember that American oil companies, the majors, that had been formed at the time of the Spindletop, 1901, Beaumont, Texas, first time major oil found in America, and of course the whole world was needing crude oil at that time to fuel everything. Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, Chevron. When oil was found in the Arab world over 60 years ago, these majors went in. The Arabs didn't have the money to produce their own oil fields. They couldn't do it. There had been prior to that nothing but nomads roaming the deserts riding camels. And all of a sudden, out of a clear blue sky, this oil is found. These majors, Texaco, Shell, Standard Oil, and Chevron, said, "We will produce your oil field. We will build them for you, and you press back as you sell the oil." Then, when Mr. Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, this is where the double cross began. He went abroad to every one of these Middle East oil companies, countries that were now producing oil. They had paid the Americans back for what they had built in their oil fields, and he said, "I'd like to cut you a deal." He said, "We will not produce from our own soil. This is so significant. We will not produce from our own soil. We know it's here." But he said, "We will not produce from our own soil. We will buy oil for you, from you. And the thing that we ask is that you take a certain percentage," and they never told me the percentage, they just told me they did it, "that we will buy, that you take a certain percentage of what we buy oil from you with, and turn around and buy our Federal Reserve." Oh, please, folks, I'm pleading with you to hear this and to analyze what is being said. Buy our Federal Reserve T-bills and issues. At this point, it is obvious that they knew that America was coming to the financial crisis that it is today, because somebody had to buy the interest on the debt. Never mind the $14 trillion debt. That is not even important. That's insignificant. The interest on the debt must be paid. How is that interest on the debt paid? It is paid by oil-producing countries, by China, by Japan, by super-rich people buying T-bills, which were considered to be the most secure currency on the face of the earth. It was the reserve currency of the world, so to speak, the American dollar. And Kissinger said, "You buy our treasury issues, our T-bills, we will buy your gas." And they have bought the majority of the interest on the American debt over these years. Now, they intentionally, by design, the Muslim Brotherhood is being supported by the elite. I'll guarantee you, I have ways of knowing this. And they are going, they started in Egypt. I told you, I pleaded with you to listen to me. And I'm doing the same today. 5 months before it happened, I came on Alex Jones' show, and I said within 4 to 5 months there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East. I've been told it by my elite friends. It happened within 4 months. almost to the day exactly as we said it. Why? They intentionally are creating the crisis. It started in Egypt. It went to Libya. It's now going to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the greatest supplier of American crude oil. When that oil is cut off, you haven't seen anything. You think gasoline 12 cents overnight at the gas pump went up. Wait till gasoline goes to $7 and $8 and $9 a gallon. The oil is cut off from the Middle East because of the crisis that are over there. At that time, what happens to the American dollar?
So the globalists are triggering the implosion of the old order to now announce their new IMF World Bank run Bancor Global SDR QE3 system that all currencies will start shifting towards being based in. And the word is it's going to be partially gold backed. And this has been their move. You talked about this 12 years ago on the show. You wrote your book in 1980, 30 years ago. Breaking all of this down, and now here we are, Lindsay. So that's the double cross.
They intentionally have double crossed the Middle East oil producing countries. Henry Kissinger knew back then it was going to happen, but watch what is going to take place now, and you will see it before your eyes in a very near future. When this thing grows so bad in the Middle East, please mark this date down. March the 11th. Please put it down on your calendar. March the 11th. The Muslim Brotherhood has declared a day of rage in Saudi Arabia. Folks, if they succeed, that's a reason right now in Saudi Arabia, they're moving into Bahrain, tanks, troops, everything imaginable. If that shuts down, we will have 200 to 225. It'll go above everything they told me it was going to happen. It'll be $200 to $225 a barrel at the gas pump. It will so affect our American economy and the dollar.
We're back, folks. Come up to meet you. That is the future as predicted by Pastor Lindsay Williams on the Alex Jones Radio Show from the 3rd of March, yesterday, 2011. And he was a former, pastor, Christian minister, who worked with top oil company executives up in Alaska for several years and is still in touch with them. And these oil company executives, especially when they get old and a little bit remorseful about the system they've been part of, they tend to, at least a couple of them, tend to leak Pastor Williams' information. And so you have some of this information, this process has been happening for a few years. Years ago, when gas prices spiked up to $1.47, $1.50 a liter around here, $4 or $5 a gallon in the United States. He predicted that would happen, and then when it was that high, he predicted there would be a drastic decline in the price of gas that nobody saw. And he predicted this thanks to his contacts out there in the oil industry. And you know why bring this stuff up? Do you bring this stuff up just to scare people, or just to hear yourself talk, or is there a specific reason to bring this stuff up? So, you know, for Pastor Lindsay Williams to put this information out there, for radio host Alex Jones, for a number of incredible people in Canada, including talk show host Richard Serrett, Stéphane Molyneux, expat Canadian James Corbett, the Truther Girls and Truther Girls Sonia and her colleagues in Montreal, and many, many others across Canada and around the world. Well, the main thing they're trying to do, as far as I can tell, is they're trying to inform people so that people who know what's going on can start taking leadership roles on these issues in their culture. So instead of treating everyone around us like they can't necessarily handle this, maybe we should treat it like you can handle this. Here's the options. Here's the solutions. You know, we can definitely get together, and instead of worrying about things like like race or class or what people said in hyper-aggressive, politically correct terms. Let's worry about being poisoned by electromagnetic radiation, by toxins in our foods, air, and water. I even heard my colleague Mark from TorontoTruthSeekers.com yesterday. We were catching up for a bit, talk about how in the movie What in the World Are They Spraying? Monsanto apparently is creating their crops to be aluminum and barium resistant, and is part of the chemtrailing going on worldwide to cover the earth in aluminum and barium particles. So the only crops we can buy are Monsanto's. The only food we can buy is genetically modified. The only seeds farmers can use would be Monsanto's Terminator seeds that don't even produce new seeds. Farmers have to buy them every year, and it absolutely cripples their abilities to earn a living and feed their families and be independent. And so the reason I bring this up is that at this point in history, as I see it, as I kind of study the culture, I really think that it's imperative on us to give people their options right away to improve their health, wealth, and relationships, so that we show that there are practical things that we can do with this information that can benefit people. Keep it simple, stupid, and so on and so forth. But I think that we should be optimistic. You know, so many times we turn into sort of baby eugenicists, and we sort of, you know, make fun of or mock the people, at least for the last few years, that didn't know these things, calling them fluoride heads and so on. Now we're getting to a critical point in human history where things are going to start sliding downhill a lot faster at this rate. And based on the plans and based on the goals of total consolidation by the powers that be behind the scenes by 2012. So I'm going to come back and talk a bit more about this in a second. But first, let me go back to Webster Tarpley on the Alex Jones Show, talking about the Mideast dominoes. It is playing up a lot in our news. And so let's get some clarification.
A large-scale imperialist rampage by the United States and the British. This is imperialism. This is a kind of neo-imperialism, which involves overthrowing all the puppet governments that exist, largely because these puppet governments are not dependent enough. They're too autonomous. They don't follow orders in the way that the U.S. and the British want. So it started back in November, December, in particular, with the CIA limited hangout self-exposure operation known as WikiLeaks. And we still have that going on with all kinds of sympathy gags designed to portray Julian Assange as a martyr. But essentially, this was an operation ordered up by people like Cass Sunstein, is sitting inside the Obama White House.
Cognitive infiltration.
Cognitive infiltration and even worse. So that then knocked over the relatively mild dictatorship or authoritarian regime, really, in Tunisia. And now we've got this process rolling through a series of Arab, Middle East, North African countries. The common denominator of this is that it aims at either creating new puppet governments that will be much weaker and much more dependent on the U.S. and the British, or chaos, civil war, and the division of countries via secessionism. I think right now, based on what you're seeing on the news media, Al Jazeera in particular, Al Jazeera Putsch Vision, which is the main channel of the destabilization and the coups, you can see that we're now getting close to the declaration of a no-fly zone over Libya, similar to what these same imperialists, the U.S. and the British, did in Iraq at the end of the first Gulf War back in the early 90s, where they say we're not going to allow Gaddafi to take off with any planes. I had tweeted about this in my Twitter feed. You can go back and look on February 24th from Hamburg, Germany, where I was at the time. I put out a thing saying, watch out for a no-fly zone followed by a NATO invasion, goal, among other things, to seize the oil fields and possibly divide Libya into two parts. The basis of this no-fly zone is the story that Gaddafi is using his military aviation, his air force, against these cities in Cyrenaica, in this area of Benghazi Tobruk, near the Egyptian border, He's been accused of using these planes to strafe demonstrations and so forth. Just now, on Russia Today, we have the Russian General Staff saying that their satellite imagery of Libya shows no such thing. In other words, it's another imperialist warmonger big lie. It's in the same
category. Why are they triggering this now? What is the larger ramification, not just for that geopolitical sector of the Near East, Middle East, and Central Asia? I mean, is that all part of the Russian encirclement operation? But expanding, what is the plan in the markets? I saw this coming. They're now scapegoating the recession, which they're now admitting never left us, on what's happening there. They're trying to use Stuxnet to bring in cybersecurity, internet kill switch. I mean, give us the big picture. What's the larger reason for this?
Well, in terms of the Middle East itself, let's take Hosni Mubarak. Now, he had been there for 30 years. He was entrenched. Here was somebody who could say no to the U.S. and the British. And what did he say no on? He said, no U.S. military bases in Egypt, no troops for the Iraq war, no troops for the Afghanistan war. And then in 2009, the new Obama administration came with their new imperialist plan, which is that you'd assemble a front of Sunni Arab states, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Jordan, along with Israel in a direct alliance with U.S. military bases in all of these countries, including Egypt, where Mubarak never wanted them. And that would then be under the U.S. nuclear umbrella, and that would then be a group of kamikaze puppets, the Arabs in particular, that would be played against Iran, against Syria, against Hezbollah, against Hamas, in other words, the radicals, the rejection front in the Middle East. Mubarak said no. Mubarak had to go. In 2010, with the U.S. screaming hysterically that all conceivable commercial ties to Iran had to be broken, Mubarak opened up these direct flights from Cairo to Tehran and back. So this was somebody who had become much too uppity, much too rebellious. Another good case, Bahrain. We've got the destabilization of the Emirate of Bahrain out there in the Gulf. What was their original sin? Well, it's that's the base of the U.S. Fifth Fleet, the one in the Persian Gulf or Arabian Gulf. And the royal family there had put up a veto saying, we forbid the United States to use this base for the purpose of attacking Iran, and therefore they had to be destabilized. Gaddafi, of course, is somebody that they have attempted to remove repeatedly. Back in 1986, using this cover story of the silly La Belle discotheque accusation against Libya with no proof, Reagan bombed Libya, tried to kill Gaddafi, and ended up killing Gaddafi's one-and-a-half-year-old daughter. So they killed a baby, but they couldn't get Gaddafi. Then, of course, we have the Shaler affair. David Shaler of MI5, British counterintelligence, says he was sitting in his office one day when he became aware that MI6, the CIA equivalent for the British, was attempting to assassinate Gaddafi with the help of, Al-Qaeda, that they had hired an Al-Qaeda allied organization, given them £100,000 of British taxpayer money, and told them to try to kill Gaddafi. They did attempt to kill him. A bomb went off. It didn't kill Gaddafi. It killed a number of innocent civilian bystanders. Now,
but obviously we're not saying Gaddafi's a good guy. They know the political climate is there to allow overthrows. The dominoes already set out by IMF, World Bank, dollar devaluation policy, driving up basic living expenses like food and energy.
Sure.
But again, what is the larger strategy?
Humanitarian reasons. They're not saying, oh, we're tired of this horrible human rights abuse.
So how are they planning on the dominoes falling around the rest of the world?
Well, let me just...
And we're back, folks. That was Webster Griffin Tarpley on the Alex Jones radio show, talking a bit about what's happening in the Middle East and Libya. And we're getting so much of this on TV, it's hard not to try and go along with it or find ways to make sense of it. When the media is lying to us this much about what's going on over there with respect to how our political leaders truly feel, sometimes we're tempted to try and make sense of it and come up with the best theories on our own to justify it, because the New World Order behind the scenes is an overwhelmingly oppressive force, and when they act in unison like this, when the shadow government behind the scenes puts out the word to promote certain ideas, they infiltrate our entire culture. And yet, you know, what can we do about that? Well, I got an article here from henrymakow.com, henrymakow.com. Letter from Cairo, Egyptians Full of Hope, by Nancy S. in Cairo, an expat American or Westerner who's living in Cairo right now. And she starts off her article with the byline by saying, leaflets are being distributed in all areas, calling for people not to litter, pay bribes, break traffic laws, or harass girls in a campaign to build a cleaner new Egypt. People finally feel a sense of ownership for their country. So what they're doing is they're putting out messages to their fellow people in Egypt to take ownership of their country. And this is to counteract any foreign influence, any government influence, any undue local corruption or warlord influence. They're simply passing on pieces of paper, encouraging each other not to break the laws, not to harass the cops, not to harass girls, and to try and build a better country in the aftermath of their recent revolution. So you can see how effective this is over there in Cairo, according to Nancy S. Back to the article here. The morning after Mubarak stood down was a brand new day, which felt so fresh and exhilarating for so many of us. It was like a weight lifted from our collective shoulders. I went with my children to Tahrir to join friends in maybe the first revolutionary cleanup in history. Ever since, they've been joining cleaning up and street painting initiatives in our local neighborhood. Leaflets are being distributed in all areas, calling for people not to litter, pay bribes, break traffic laws, or harass girls in a campaign to build a cleaner new Egypt. People finally feel a sense of ownership for their country. To put that quote in context of the article here, there's a feeling of hope in the new Egypt, as well as an unsettling feeling that what we are working for will be derailed. Of course, all eyes are turned to the unfortunate events in Libya. I thought Mubarak was waging a war on his own people, and thank God the army didn't comply, but it was nothing compared to what is happening in Libya. My husband was saying that it is quite fishy that this is all happening at the same time. And I don't think that that she and her husband and others are alone in feeling that there is something strange about the West going on a huge propaganda campaign, our Western political leaders, to promote the protests in the Middle East, and for them to all be happening like dominoes. And yet, as you heard Pastor Lindsey Williams say, the Muslim Brotherhood is already stirring up anti-Israeli sentiment in Egypt as part of this. Egypt's a big country, 80 million people, so different things going on in different places. But that's certainly a factor there as they gear up for the clash of civilizations and the Anglo-American establishment's, engineered World War III to bring in their world government, create so much chaos that they can bring order out of that chaos. And that is essentially the plan. There's even a website called 3worldwars.com, which has the history of the planning for the Third World War, going back to Albert Pike in the 1800s for Freemasonry, basically writing out, you know, what basically outlining plans for the First and Second World Wars, and then an ultimate Third World War to bring in the global governance. And so we have really, really simple options here when it comes to this sort of thing. Can we stop, you know, decisions being made at the Pentagon? No. But can we stop people around us from agreeing with them? Yes, absolutely. And speaking with my colleague Mark at TorontoTruthSeekers.com as well, again, yesterday, he's a free man, encourages people to get out of the system, to get their long-form birth certificate, formerly available at 777 Bay Street near College, but now available at 47 Shepherd Street East at Young and Shepherd. You can go there, you can get your long-form birth certificate, your yellow copy, which basically means that you renounce your citizenship in a way, but it's not like you're not Canadian. It just means that you don't pay into the system and you don't take from the system, and the system's arbitrary laws don't necessarily apply to you, although you are then expected to act in a morally upstanding fashion as a free man. So You can Google Toronto Truth Seekers and Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, to see the four videos online of my colleague Mark Savory breaking down the Freeman ideas. And it's fascinating, incredible stuff. I haven't done it myself yet, but I am seriously contemplating it. I just want to see all the angles and understand it as best I can first. But what this means is that if you are stopped by a police officer, then and you show them that birth certificate, their bond doesn't protect them if they screw up in dealing with you. So they generally speaking don't, or they might detain you for a bit to make sure you're not pulling a scam, but then they eventually let you go, as has happened with my colleague Mark and other free men out there. So that's one option for people out there, and it is also an excellent way to discharge debts, credit card debts, other debts that you have outstanding, provided that they were based on fraud. So, but in talking to my colleague Mark yesterday, we were talking about plans this year for Toronto True Seekers and TorontoTrueSeekers.com, and he was telling me, and I was quite excited by this news, that many colleagues at Toronto True Seekers and TorontoTrueSeekers.com, the website and the meetup, are purchasing burners now, DVD burners, and you know, about a half a dozen people have a lot of burners, so we can start handing out a lot more DVDs. And we're even thinking of shooting a little five-minute intro to the DVDs, which my colleague Mark often puts together so that he can add it to the DVDs that he compiles, where he puts two or three different movies on a single DVD, adds menus and titles and maybe even a couple of other videos, and makes a little package, including the vaccine agenda package we were handing out during the H1N1 scare in the summer of 2009. So you can see, and the reason that I bring these things up, DVDs, flyers, and so on, is this is what's been recommended by people who've been looking at this stuff for years, and you can see this sort of thing happening in Egypt. So when their country's going through an unstable period, this is how people are choosing to communicate with each other in careful, authoritative, brief, declarative statements that help give people a sense of certainty about what's going on over there. So I strongly recommend that, doing the same thing here, sharing flyers and or DVDs, but ultimately putting out the message to people that they have to take control over where they live and their political system where they live, and their federal, provincial, and municipal politicians who ultimately make the decisions. We're seeing some good work done by our mayor here in Toronto, Rob Ford, in cleaning out the Toronto Community Housing civilian council and their ridiculous expenditures at taxpayers' expense and their ridiculous use of public money. And so you can see that a lot of these things are being exposed. Now, there could be a number of reasons for this. The civil sector, civil servants in America, in Canada, in Europe, everywhere, are being threatened by budget cuts and are being threatened by a lack of funding from the state. And so this could be just to break them and break their unions and bring them all in line, to make them more subservient bureaucrats, to usher in this world government agenda as countries submit to it. Or it could be some honest work by Mr. Ford here and other politicians elsewhere. But either way, it must be supplemented. You know, we can't cheer for scandals. We can't cheer for random good things that happen. We can support them. And when the public understanding of the world includes, you know, a lot of mainstream information, then, you know, we can certainly say, you know, we're cool with that. We support the protesters in the Middle East, and we support, you know, the exposure of corruption in our cities, wherever we are. But there has to be an understanding of the bigger New World Order globalist eugenics agenda to create a scientific dictatorship and to depopulate the earth. Because quite honestly, if you go to cancer.ca, you know, you'll see that nearly 50% of us are expected to get cancer from the toxins in our environment. And so what often happens in our culture as well is, you know, we're allowed to say two true things, even if they don't necessarily contradict each other. So I can say, hey, you know, a bunch of us might get cancer. And somebody else can say, yeah, but a bunch of corruption is being exposed and a bunch of people are waking up. And they're both true statements. And the latter one will make you feel better, but it won't necessarily deal well with the former. And so that's what we have to focus on, is we have to focus on tackling these issues head on, as opposed to simply trying to say the happiest thing that we can think of at any given time. But speaking of happy things at given times, Charlie Sheen has been involved in a lot of scandals recently, which is also bringing a lot of attention to the Alex Jones radio show and the Truth Movement. Just because his name's in the media a lot, I'm going to play the clip that actually got him to lose his show and then come back and talk about it. This is from the Alex Jones radio show on the 24th of February, the legendary actor Charlie Sheen.
I'm so tired of pretending like my life isn't perfect and bitching and just winning every second, and I'm not perfect and bitching and just delivering the goods at every freaking turn, because look what I'm dealing with, man. I'm dealing with fools and trolls, you know? I'm dealing with soft targets, and it's just, you know, it's just strafing runs in my underwear before my first cup of coffee, because I don't have time for these clowns. I don't have time for their judgment and their stupidity, and, you know, they lay down with their ugly wives in front of their ugly children and just look at their loser lives, and then they look at me and they say, I can't process it. Well, no, and you never will. Stop trying. Just sit back and enjoy the show. You know?
Wow, I am speechless. Later we're going to get into Apocalypse Now, but what comes to mind is when we were there a few weeks ago watching it in your home theater, when Colonel Kurtz is saying, you can kill me, but
you can't...
You have
the right to kill me, but you do not have the right to judge me. Boom. That's the whole movie. That's life. That's life. There's nobility in that. There's focus. It's genuine. It's crystalline. It's pure. And it's available to everybody. You just shut your traps and put down your McDonald's, your vaccines, your Us Weekly, your TMZ, and the rest of it, you know, and focus on something that matters. But you can't focus on things that matter if all you've been is asleep for 40 years. Funny how sleep rhymes with sheep, you know? Anyway, we're getting off topic.
No, Charlie,
we don't have a topic because we don't care anymore, Alex. We don't care.
Is it fair to
talk about this work thing, bro? Let's get to the work business, because there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors. Imagine that with the media.
Well, sure, let's go over that, because when I was there 2 weeks ago at your house, you looked great, totally clean. You were working out super hard. I went and worked out with you at that private gym. I mean, they put you through an incredible workout. You know, you're there exercising in the pool later, and you're saying, look, I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to go right now. And then they add the lie that, oh, you don't have a hernia. Well, you know what? I've seen your hernia. I've got the same hernia in my belly button, and your hernia was hurt. But again, you don't want to defend yourself on that and you know, tell folks the truth about it. But the point is that it seems like there's some people in your life that are trying to demonize you. They're doing these vanity cards, talking about how they're going to outlive you. It seems pretty darn aggressive.
Yeah, I didn't care about that vanity card. In fact, I went straight on with that one and just dispelled that. And that was actually, you know, one of the few compliments that clown has paid me in freaking almost a decade. But I'm excited to get back to work, and not to completely discount what you just talked about. It's just if I bring up these turds, these little homunculus losers, there's no reason to then, you know, bring them back into the fold, because I have real fame. They have nothing. They have zero. They have that night, and I will forget about them as the last image of them exits my beautiful home, and they will get out there and they will sell me, and then they will lose. And they will lose the rest of their lives as they think about me and my life the rest of their life. So it's just, there's no, it's, again, bring me a challenge, somebody. Bring me a freaking challenge, because, you know, it just ain't there. Winning.
But you're ready to go back to work right now.
Well, yeah, but Alex, I had to tell you, man, and you know, I'm tired of being told, like, oh, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. Bull, S-H-I-T. Let me just say this, that it's nothing... this side of deplorable that a certain Haim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Haim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write. Clearly someone who believes he is above the law. Well, you've been warned, dude. Bring it.
We are winning.
And that's right, folks. We're back.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
And that was the infamous clip from the Alex Jones radio show that got Charlie Sheen kicked off his show and losing his show. And I got to say, you know, Chris Rock had a really funny line from one of his stand-up specials. He says, when I'm in a fight with someone, if I'm in a fight with someone, I don't have time to be politically correct. And I don't want to worry about that. And I got to say, I'm not a racist. I'm not for racism. I don't think people should be using that kind of means to insult somebody else. It's just, it's not fair to drag every other member of a race into it. But if you see what he said in a very, very personal way to his producer at Two and a Half Men, Chuck Lorre, who sometimes calls Charlie Sheen Carlos Estevez, which is Charlie Sheen's real name, then you get the sense that he didn't go on a crazy tirade. Charlie Sheen didn't, fashion designer John Galliano in a pub in France, or Michael Richards on stage. It was an offhanded mention, and it was a little snarky at worst, in my opinion. Now, people can be hypersensitive to this, and I know that we're encouraged to be. But what does that get us? And what does that hypersensitivity to that, you know, any hint, any suggestion, or the opportunity to say you're offended, to feel, you know, morally justified, what does that take away from in terms of what we should really be mad about? And I'll give you an example. In Europe, they don't let kids use Wi-Fi in schools because they're afraid of the health effects on the kids. And yet here in Ontario, the Ontario teacher said, yeah, the kids got to use Wi-Fi. I've heard stories the kids are allowed to keep their their cell phones on them, and they're texting all through class just in case their parents want to call. And there's all sorts of craziness going on inside the system that's affecting kids all the time. And it's causing more autism. It's causing the need for occupational therapy. It's causing gastrointestinal problems. And you get more and more and more of this happening. And yet, you know, we get more ticked off when a celebrity says or does something wrong. So we've got to re-engineer our anger. And we've got to say, you know what, we can get angry about the most important things going on around us by noticing them. But the only way we can do that is if we pass them on. So, and it says here from the Tavistock Institute, courtesy of Alan Watts, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, that the Tavistock's response, and the Tavistock Institute, by the way, is a psychological, it's a think tank, and it's a psychological research institute. And it says here that their response discusses the development of broad cultural assumptions that car use is the, quote, norm of transport, which has been informed by policy decisions and the power of infrastructure over influencing travel mode decisions. In many respects, the lack of suitable cycle infrastructure is a result of a vicious circle where poor infrastructure has led to fewer people choosing to cycle, which in turn has led to less public demand for suitable infrastructure. Why did I just blurt out all this gobbledygook? Because if you go on reading this from the TavistockInstitute.org TavInstitute.org, you'll realize that this is a government program to change how we think. And it's to change how we think about driving. This is emanating out of England here, the Tavistock Institute is, but as Dr. John Coleman, author of The Committee of 300, has written, he wrote a book called The Tavistock Institute, Responsible for the Moral Decline of America. Because this is where a lot of the big brainwashing comes out of. And so when you have governments that encourage us to think in terms of racism, when you have governments that are encourage us to think that they are now pro-Arab in the Middle East, as opposed to, you know, anti with respect to what they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan, parts of Pakistan and parts of Iran, in terms of the proxy wars they're engaging over there. And when you have governments that are socially engineering us to greenwash us, to make us think that recycling is the most important thing we could do for the environment, as opposed to stopping, you know, giant multinational corporations from poisoning everything, then you can see the kind of tricks of the trade that we have to try and beat. And so we've got to figure out ways to communicate with our BS detectors in this culture, just like they do everywhere. And there's an article here from thewellversed.com about China's Twitter killer. as China comes up with a new Twitter called Sina Weibo, as I'm guessing here. It already has 85 million users as opposed to Twitter's 175, but it's, or 50 million as opposed to Twitter's 175, but it's growing fast. And you can see how much of this is being encouraged everywhere, and how everybody has to have a Twitter account, and you're judged in your Twitter account. And there were stories about how Charlie Sheen got to a million Twitter followers in less than 24 hours, and the fact that he got to a million Twitter followers in less than 24 hours. Look, that's fine. We can use these tools. There's no doubt that we can use these tools to get the word out, because everybody's on there. You got to go play in the marketplace. But the bigger picture is, why are these tools promoted so much? Why are these modes of communication being so heavily encouraged? And does that make it more difficult to talk in depth about topics? And so it's important for us to transcend that and to beat that. And there's amazing, incredible stuff going on here right now. Galliano faces trial for racist outburst in France. It's fashion designer John Galliano. And the idea of hate speech laws is part of the overwhelming political correctness. And once they change how we think to the point where they Orwellize our history and destroy concepts of freedom and liberty that we've cherished for generations, as long as we've been able to have them, then they can put the things that I'm talking about on this show in terms of attacking government policies and social engineering under the guise of hate speech. So the best thing to do is to support free speech and to say, look, if it's stupid, laugh at it. And if it's smart, just appreciate it. But let's think more than just feel offended and get off on feeling offended. And so before Monsignor William Watsoni, a.k.a. the great Bill Watson, comes on board to take you for a four-hour jazz bungee experience you will not forget, a local legend in the game is about to take the stage for about 4 hours. I'm going to break down a couple of articles here from the Metro, today's edition. Walk, walk, fashion baby, Lady Gaga, at a fashion event recently. She has a song coming out called Government Hooker. Believe it or not. So, being pretty obvious these days with respect to the propaganda out there. And yet, a lot of times people don't mind this. And yet, I'm reminded of the infamous Jesus parable. Forgive the whores and beat the moneylenders, you know, from what he did in the temple against corrupt moneylending practices as he allegedly saw them. And so... Instead of picking on the weakest members of our culture, like I've seen happening for years, it was teenage unwed mothers back in the 80s who were public enemy number one, apparently. Let's start aiming a little bit higher. Court backs infanticide defense. In appealing Guelph women's conviction, Ontario's Attorney General, for all practical purposes, sought to abolish infanticide as a partial defense to a murder charge. And so now, in fact, you can appeal for infanticide as your defense to murder. Now, does this mean the government likes babies, or does this mean, or likes mothers, or does this mean the government's making babies easier to kill and lowering the punitive punishments for this? It's hard to know exactly, you know, what the pluses and minuses of this are, but the bottom line is that with a eugenics program going on, it is no surprise that that courts are coming out and making it easier and easier to abort babies, to have the abortion pill, and now the Ontario courts have backed infanticide as an acceptable defense, as a less punitive charge than murder. Deputy city managers on their way out. Deputy manager Sue Cork, who our media openly admits is a Mandarin. And a Mandarin is a name for a British living high on the hog bureaucrat from the old British Empire days when they were lording over India and China and so on. It was very, very public that they were these fat cat bureaucrats who tried to make sure the system stayed in place and profited more and more at the expense of people. So our media is literally admitting we have these, while of course most of us don't know the name save for the buffet restaurant here. But more and more are exiting. Is that a good or a bad thing? Well, it's probably good in some ways and bad in others. As it says here, Ford intent on privatizing the TCHC, the Toronto Community Housing Corporation. As he said on News Talk 1010 yesterday, he wouldn't go so far as to say he would privatize. Would he go so far as to say he would privatize the TCHC? Ford said, absolutely, no doubt in my mind. I'm going to look at every service, how we're delivering it. Garbage, as you know, we're contracting it out. I have no problem looking at how we're delivering services. And if contracting out's the way to go, that's the way we're going to go. And so what does this mean? This means that institutions that were built up with public money are now being exposed as corrupt and being sold to private interests. And ultimately, we have to stop and think, wait a second, our tax dollars paid for this. You know, why do those corporations who didn't have to build a company get to buy one, and a successful one, and one that has public and political or public support and political support from the local politicians and administration? You know, why should we just hand that over to a private company? And when essential services are, you know, possibly like Toronto Community Housing, are being delivered by a private company and they're trying to maximize profits, are they going to cut corners at the expense of the poorest people in Toronto looking for housing? And finally, with respect to privatization, if governments and corporations are working together to do this, then how do these governments effectively regulate these corporations responsible for providing city services? The answer is they don't do it very well when they're in business together. And as Mussolini, famous Italian dictator around the same time of Hitler, said, the perfect combination of corporate and state power is fascism. And so that's what we're seeing with this privatizing. So Mr. Ford looks pretty good by exposing corruption that had been there for a while and excessive spending by members of the Toronto Community Housing Corporation. But then, once we're all excited about that decision, he decides to privatize it. And because we fall in love with the fact that he exposed the corruption, we tend to go along with that. So definite issues there. Local scientists find stem cell roadblock. This is all from the Metro here. Study says mutations could make stem cells less promising for regenerative medicine. Tons and tons and tons of science innovations out there, but part of the stem cell research and the promotion of it is to create a giant DNA database and bioweapons and so on and so forth, which is why they're encouraging that. And they're even doing DNA swab tests in the United States now on the inside of cheeks, and they're planning on doing them at the airports. Mayor set to call in the troops. Ford warns he'll sick Ford Nation on McGuinty next election to kick out Premier Dalton McGuinty if McGuinty doesn't give our mayor, Rob Ford, here in Toronto, what he wants. Political infighting, and it's true, there is a Ford Nation. There are nations out there built by the mass media to support certain politicians. And Calgary Mayor Naheed Nenshi is also getting a lot of love from the media, and that's translating into love from the people. But again, most of these guys aren't dealing with the most pressing issues of our day. They'll do some good things while they're in there, but it's a fake fight. It's like wrestling. If you're Vince McMahon and you own both wrestlers, you make money off the match. And we can choose sides based on what the government media gives us. And we can choose sides based on the upcoming election, where they're going to start to talk about how cool Ignatieff is, or Harper, or Layton. And we can just get right into that. But let's keep in mind what they haven't done for a while and what we can do about it. And so... That's it for me, folks. Just a slice of some of the things that are going on today. A bit of the Middle East, a bit closer to home, and ultimately a bit about communication and about how we can look at each other in different ways to make communication easier and more practical with respect to the most important issues we face. At this point, most people are concerned, especially about rising gas prices and more. So it shouldn't be very, very hard for us to talk about it. On that note, I'm going to share a couple of websites where you can find more information on these issues. Infowars.com. There's an excellent new article from Rolling Stone magazine about Alex Jones, and there's a link to it from Infowars.com. So you can check out how the mainstream media is cautiously acknowledging the man who 16 years ago started on a journey of investigating the New World Order and has subsequently been proven more and more correct as more and more of the New World Order's plans are being revealed. So Infowars.com, great place for that. And the V for Victory postering and video and resistance campaign as well. Definitely get involved and get inspired by what InfoWars is suggesting and by what many people have suggested throughout history with respect to talking to your neighbors and getting on the same page with respect to what's going on so you could do something about it. Naturalnews.com, excellent health news there, including a new 12-minute video on fluoride. That's a must-share with everybody because, you know, if you can't take 12 minutes to learn about fluoride, then my goodness, and especially if you have kids, for the health of your kids, it is ultimately important to get a fluoride filter and then to work politically to get it out of whatever city is still using it. VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms, fluoridealert.org for more on fluoride. You can go to seedsofdeception.com for information on GMO foods and the non-GMO shopping guide. HenryMAKOW.com to finish this article on Egypt, and also for stuff on relationships. And I got to tell you, same with the male-female relationship parable. Guys out there, if you man up on behalf of women, children, and the elderly in general, you'll feel like more of a man. And most men these days, I know, just want to feel their balls because it's been so long. And so this is a great, easy, and productive way to do that by choosing to man up on these issues. Give women a bit more personal space. Open doors for them. Bring back chivalry. You won't always get the best response, but most of the time you will. Most of the time you get a good response if you're cool and you're just doing it to do it for them. And so I recommend that. Locally, some great places to check out include TorontoTruthSeekers.com to network on these issues. Press4Truth.ca for excellent Canadian independent journalism. ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store Queen and Roncesvalles. Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street Newspaper out there on the streets. But the most important thing is to recognize you are part of a group already. Your friends are a group. Your co-workers are a group. Your family is a group. And so when groups need to take action, groups should start talking about what's going on and start talking about what actions are possible out there. So I strongly recommend doing that. You don't have to join a group. You don't have to let anyone else tell you what to do. You can just figure out what's going on, figure out what there's to do about it, and then take some action. And hopefully, as the weather starts getting warmer here in Toronto, hopefully soon, we can all start thinking about doing that a little bit more. That's it for me, folks. I'm out of here. Have a fantastic weekend. It's been a slice. We'll see you folks on Monday. Stay up, stay positive, stay active in the info war, and don't worry about what's happening. Do something about it so you feel like you're in control. Peace out, everybody.